Federal investigators are still uncertain about who spread anthrax through the mail. They believe a lone wolf might be responsible, a kind of biological Unabomber, or militant groups of Americans with extreme right-wing views. In fact, as NPR's Howard Berkus reports, there's a history of interaction between the American far right and Islamic extremists.
Imagine this, a rainbow coalition of white neo-Nazis, black separatists, and radical Islamic fundamentalists. This isn't just Jesse Jackson's worst nightmare, and it isn't just imagination.
There would be a white homeland, and I've actually seen maps where part of the South is the black homeland, and don't laugh, it's a stereotype, but New York and Hollywood are Jewish enclaves.
This is not just an American phenomenon, says researcher Chip Berlay, who has tracked the radical right for 25 years and co-wrote a recent book called Right-Wing Populism in America.
A number of groups around the world, despite their very vast differences, are engaged in an enterprise to overthrow all existing nation states and replace them with either racial nationalist or religious nationalist regimes, which would be pure and monocultural. You have white supremacists working with pan-Arab nationalists, working with Islamic supremacists. Despite those differences, they share this idea of redividing the world and giving little sections to each other.
Berlay reads the newsletters and websites of these groups and talks to their members. That's how he heard about a meeting in Libya in 1987 that brought seemingly disparate militants together.
And that, in fact, was a conference that represented this idea that anyone who didn't like the U.S. government should form a kind of alliance that crossed, interestingly enough, political and racial and religious lines, as long as you were willing to stand up against Jewish domination.
A similar political, religious, and racial mix was expected for a meeting last spring in Beirut. This one was to focus on the notion that the Holocaust never took place. Neo-Nazis and Islamic extremists were on the guest list.
The digital age puts them in immediate contact, and from that, I think, comes the potential for closer communication, meeting, and maybe coordination.
Rabbi Abraham Cooper of the Simon Wiesenthal Center pressured the Lebanese government to shut the meeting down, which it did. He's discovered other links between the extreme American right and Islamic militants, including an interview on Iran radio with William Pierce, the writer of the Turner Diaries, which inspired Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh. Rabbi Cooper also found the essays of former Ku Klux Klansman David Duke on what he describes as an extremist Islamic website in Pakistan. He suspects, but has no evidence, that American militants are somehow involved in the anthrax assaults of the past 9 weeks.
People who are anti-government and are looking for ways to further impact and change the course of history would have to say, well, let's take a look. If these terrorists from overseas did a really good job. They've weakened ZOG, you know, Zionist occupation government. And the possibility then for the lone wolf or a small cell of people inspired by their hatred for American government, American values, could definitely launch their own terrorist attack.
That would be an act of opportunism, an attempt to take advantage of chaos, which some militants believe will drive fearful and frustrated Americans to their cause. That's a strategy familiar to Jessica Stern, a lecturer on terrorism at Harvard, who's now writing her second book on the subject.
They are waiting until the moment when Americans are vulnerable to giving up on the government and joining them in their anti-government crusade. Indeed, one extremist said to me that he disapproved of the Oklahoma City bombing. It wasn't the right moment, he said, because Americans had too much faith in the government, and it was better to wait until the right moment to strike.
Others have other theories. Perhaps American extremists acted as agents or allies of Osama bin Laden. Maybe they were simply inspired and emboldened by the attacks of September 11th. Some right-wing radicals actually cheer the attacks, as Rabbi Cooper of the Simon Wiesenthal Center discovered while cruising the internet.
The people who are right at the edge, pretty much applauding September 11th, and hoping against hope that Taliban and Al-Qaeda will actually win so that they can be around to pick up the pieces.
Add to this strong interest in anthrax and other dangerous substances. One white separatist boasted he had enough anthrax to decimate a city. He also claimed he had plague bacterium. And one group of racist Christians obtained a barrel of cyanide. But none actually attacked, notes researcher Chip Berlay.
Most of the violence from the extreme right has involved guns and bombs. There are some examples of individuals and small groups attempting to acquire bacteriological weapons. But for the most part, these have not been successful. They never had them in a form or in a volume that really could have been a weapon of mass destruction. So the intent to acquire these things is there, but they've never shown any ability to turn that into an operational weapon.
That hasn't stopped speculation about some sort of American right-wing role in the anthrax attacks. Reporters and researchers have been chasing down leads that so far lead nowhere. Chip Berlay blames frustrated federal investigators.
People in government agencies who have an axe to grind leaking information about who the government suspects. And so you have people who are concerned about the domestic arena blaming the U.S. political right. You have people who are concerned about foreign policy blaming the Osama bin Laden people. And the fact is, nobody knows. They're all just guessing. And, you know, it's very hard to unravel this.
The FBI says it's discovered no direct or clear link between the anthrax attacks and any particular individual or group. The agency is appealing to the public for help. Howard Berkus, NPR News.